There is some evidence at the beginning of the film, because there are elves spotted in the crowd shots, that Santa Claus's death was prearranged or at least suspected. You know what I mean? Because when he fell off that roof, he was kind of like, I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah.
He didn't seem too bummed about it, so.
Apparently, according to actual criminal Tim Allen, he wanted to, like, the original script had him, like, shooting Santa off the roof. But it didn't test well, because
really,
kids got
not?
Sad that a man killed Santa with a gun.
No, it's fine.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
You are listening to Out of Dodge, a podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Shane.
And we're your hosts on this magical adventure as we talk about entertainment, news, developments, things that we like to talk about. We went to film school. We got degrees, oddly enough. You know, we did it. We pulled it off. And now we feel like we're qualified to share our opinions online. So... Thank you for listening. Thank you for choosing us, you know?
As you all may or may not be aware, E3 happened recently. And by recently, I mean several weeks ago. However, we haven't talked about it yet.
We've been gone. Oopsies.
It's kind of the biggest game event of the year. Not the only one. We tend to have several conferences kind of sprinkled throughout. But this is the big moment where everyone shows off the games that we're all going to play.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting place, because it used to be, for the past 2 years, it's been online, because of the Waterworld stunt show.
Yep.
And normally, it's this big convention, and they, you know, it's over multiple days, and it's, you know, it's like a big sweaty room. And there's different show floors, like any other regular convention. And, you know, presentations from a lot of big publishers and gaming companies, like Xbox normally does one. PlayStation hasn't done one in a couple years. Nintendo normally does one. So, you know, it's the big boys come out to play. And they like to show off things. And they do a lot of demos and little, you know, presentations. Sometimes the gameplay, 100% fake. So,
sometimes they don't have any gameplay to show you. So
exactly.
That is fun, too.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. A lot of people have been burned at E3 because they're like, oh, Cyberpunk 2077 looks so good. And then 6 months after the game comes out, a report says, oh, yeah, that gameplay demo that was showed at E3 was entirely false. You know, it was like there were some really cool things. Like they showed off, you know, Halo Infinite's multiplayer at the Microsoft Xbox presentation.
Yes.
And that looked really cool.
That
but then
great.
They showed, like, you know, Deadfall, Redfall. Redfall?
Vampires?
Vampires. Yeah, Redfall. Which was just a cinematic trailer. And I'm like, well, I want to know more. I want to know more about this. And they're like, you can't.
I was looking it up, and they were like, yeah, it's a... On, like, the front page of the video game, they're like, yeah, it's a science experiment gone wrong, and it gave all these monster people all these vampire powers, and there's a perpetual eclipse, and you have all these crazy guns, and I'm like, this is nuts. And they were like, actually, we're not done, because there are cults that worship the vampires, and will try to kill you also, and I'm like, great.
And I believe that it is being produced by Arkane.
Yes.
Which was a studio within ZeniMax, which was bought by Microsoft earlier last year.
Yeah, they did Prey and Dishonored, so they have a lot of good stuff to their cred, so potential.
My thing is, I just want to see gameplay, kind of, you know? Because stuff's flashy and it's cool, but I want to see what I'm actually going to be doing, you know?
Well, yeah, I feel like sometimes they're trying to, like, sell you on the concept. They don't have gameplay that looks like anything yet, and they're like, well, we could show you the terrible thing that'll make you hate us, or we can show you what we want it to be, and then we can work to get there. Because we still, I think it's coming out next summer, so they still have a decent
almost
amount
a full
of time.
Year, yeah.
But, you know, as a concept, very pumped.
Yeah, and funny you should say that about, you know, the cinematic trailers of, like, well, we don't really have anything to show, but, like, this is what we want it to be. Another Microsoft property, Outer Worlds 2, very, very tongue-in-cheek trailer, but they're like, we don't have anything to show, so here's some, like, stereotypical gameplay trailer footage. Just know that we're making the game. Outer Worlds 1 real fun, real cool. Kind of hits that like Fallout niche.
Speaking of Fallout, a lot of post-apocalyptic thing going on, which I guess is just how we all feel. But Atomic Heart, still no release date, but they released footage at E3, and it's definitely going to be on the Xbox, and they're talking about it being an alternate USSR, and there's a robot uprising, and it's 1955, and there's all kinds of scary shit. And gameplay looks impressive. I mean, I'm always wary, though, when they refuse to give you a year, even if it's like a guesstimate. If they were like 2023, I'd be like, sure, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But I'm hopeful because it looks like a totally different kind of environment, and it would be cool to see like a completely different country and then an alternate world, and it just seems neat.
That does seem super cool. If we could jump real quick to Nintendo's, and I can blast through a couple of these. There are a few things of note, you know, from them. I don't think it wasn't as crazy as people wanted. I think people wanted, like, you know, more Animal Crossing stuff, more Pokemon, or we have enough Pokemon. We have so much goddamn Pokemon. We don't need more Pokemon. We have more Pokemon coming in November. Got Pokemon up to my eyeballs over here. But Nintendo showed maybe a gameplay trailer, just maybe just a trailer, of Breath of the Wild 2, which doesn't have a title yet. They're just calling it the sequel to Breath of the Wild, which is a mouth. They're waiting until it gets closer to the release, which they say is 2022, 2023.
I think 2022.
They say that the title's like a spoiler.
Breath of the Wild 2, Link dies.
But some other notable things, Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania, you know, for all you Super Monkey Ball fans, that's coming out October 5th, which oddly enough is coming out on everything and the Switch. But Mario Party Superstars, October 29th. Metroid Dread, October 8th. A lot of October, a lot of like fall and winter stuff. Something that Nintendo likes to do, they like to front load games right before the holidays because they know parents don't know their kids well enough, so they'll just get them a game, you know? They're like, a personal gift? Pfft, what about this Mario Golf game? He'll love that. Which they did show more of. But you know, there's a WarioWare, Get It Together, September 10th. So for all you Wario heads out there, all you Elon Musk fans, go pick that up, you know? So, you know, a lot of, like, smaller titles for Nintendo this year.
I want to talk about Starfield, because this is supposed to be the next big thing. And sure, we finally got a release date, November 11th, 2022.
I have a sinking suspicion that is going to be delayed.
I would not be surprised, because the intensity is there in this trailer. Don't get me wrong. It's very much like, this is 25 years in the making, and this is the thing that we've always wanted to do, and this is the god of games, and I'm like, okay. But it's really just like, a woman puts a gun down, and then gets in a ship, and the ship goes into the air, and it's like, space, and that's it. And I did some reading, because I was like, I have to know a little bit more, okay? Because they didn't tell me anything. I signed up for the fucking email list. I'm going to know things about this game. They're like, well, we're trying to answer mankind's greatest mystery, which I assume is like the origin of life.
Are we alone? Oh.
Oh, I feel like we'll know if we're alone the second we get past our solar system.
The first contact war.
I'm hoping it's a little bit more than just, are there aliens? Maybe like we're looking for immortality, or we're trying to figure out where we came from, or we have so many different game franchises where it's like you have all these alien species and it's great.
Or we have all these alien species and it's really bad.
And it's actually terrible for all of us.
The worst for everyone.
The character customization is supposed to, you can kind of create whoever you want, and it's a whole new universe. And I was looking at concept art, and there's like all these jungles and caves. In these like huge floating bases and outposts that you can go to, and I'm like, okay, this is intriguing. I wish I could have seen this in the trailer for that game.
Yeah, well, but they don't have, it's not ready. It's not,
I know,
done yet.
I know,
it's still,
I know,
cooking.
I know. I just said this to you. I know, but I am excited about it. I feel like Starfield has like the potential, and Bethesda definitely wants it to be the next big thing. Also, it's going to be on Game Pass.
Yes. Yeah. Day one Game Pass. That's rad. The thing that I'm hoping is that when Fallout 76 came out, it was just garbage, right?
Yeah.
It was just a buggy mess. There was nothing in it to do. It was just broken. You know, a lot of people led that to, well, you know, they were trying to make sales. And they're kind of the mindset of, ship it now, fix it later. I don't think Microsoft will really tolerate that.
I'm hoping not, because they did spend a decent amount of money to get these boys.
And I'm hoping that Microsoft which their mainline studios that they've purchased over the years, they're pretty standout. They're pretty, you know, rad. I don't know. I just hope that they're given the resources they need and the people they need to like make it work, because that's gonna be really bad for them if they spent so much money and been like, oh, Bethesda games exclusives, and then have it just be garbage.
There's a lot of pressure on this one.
So yeah. So here's hoping that Starfield gets the same gets the treatment it deserves. Elder Scrolls. If we're talking about Bethesda, Elder Scrolls 6 was teased again, just mentioned. So that's pretty cool that they're still working on that. It's gonna be
a bit.
I'm gonna say probably like 26. I'm gonna say, you can quote me on that. It'll get me nothing, but you know, you can quote me on it. You know, put me on the box, on the box. Sorry, he said 26, which is insane to think about that. Forza Horizon 5,
yeah,
got announced. They did a little deep dive video. It's taking place in Mexico. It looks real cool. I'm very excited for this. I love the Forza games. I've played, I think, every single one.
I don't know if it's my most anticipated, but it was like the most pleasantly surprising, and the one that I liked the most was one called Somerville, which is coming out in 2022. And it's like this 2D side-scrolling game that looks just super depressing in the best possible way. The trailer opens and it's like a family on a couch and you're like, all right, yeah, sure. And then it's just like the apocalypse immediately.
Yeah.
And it looks so scary, but like really pretty, and the music is good. And it definitely looks like a game that's just going to fuck your heart up real bad. But, you know, that's what art is for. So,
I'm very
excited about it. Also, it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass.
So, Somerville, if you look up the trailer for Somerville, if it looks familiar to another game, it was made by the same people that did Limbo and Inside. So, yeah. Very much the same vibes of those games, but this looks like insane. And
it's great. Like, it looks like more of a world.
So morbid.
Or at least our world anyway, but yeah.
Well, for a bit, and then it...
then it turns into dust, yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked about Back for Blood too many times, yeah. So I'm not going to say anything other than the fact that it comes out on October 12th. And it's also going to be on fucking Game Pass, people.
Hell yeah.
Cool. It, you know, we're getting that Left 4 Dead vibe back, killing all kinds of zombies. I'm very excited about it.
Here's something that everyone has been asking for.
Oh, yeah?
During the Ubisoft Forward stream, they announced a game called Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora. Like, I think everyone has been asking for more Avatar films, and... But I have heard that people want more Avatar games. And by that, I mean James Cameron's Avatar. They want more games. They say, the one game for the movie tie-in? Not good enough. Give me more. And, boy, is Ubisoft gonna deliver. So, that was a whole joke.
It was a whole little goof. Can I be terribly honest in a way please. That may never make it to the podcast?
No, I will.
I've actually played the original game, the original Avatar game on the Wii, and it kind of slaps.
See, I'm going to tell you something in full confidence, knowing that you're going to put it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I played the Avatar game on iOS on my iPhone.
Oh, wow.
when it was the size of a little Tic Tac box or whatever, you know, back in the day.
Damn. Did you win?
I won. I thoroughly... Do you want to know how that game ended? So... It's not Jake Sully. It's some other guy who's like following in Jake Sully's footsteps, and like
he's
like,
"It's Blue, right?"
Yeah, there's Blue. But the entire time he's like doing this whole rebellion against the humans. But at the human base, you know how they have to kind of like jack into the bodies and like they can do whatever they want and go wherever.
Yeah.
So he's running this whole rebellion from the human base, and the humans are like, "The fuck? We should just kill him." And so they do. They just shoot him when he's in a trance. And that's how the game ends.
Incredible.
It's wild. But in that same Ubisoft Forward stream, we saw a little bit about Far Cry 6.
Honestly, more work and time have gone into the trailers for Far Cry 6 than all of Far Cry 5.
I agree with you.
So, very pumped. Like, the weapons, the story, the location...
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems so much better and definitely more like in tune with what Far Cry 3 and like the better games were where you had like a whole world and you fight, and they really emphasize being like a one person army against, you know, like 300,000 armed military people. And I'm like, great.
Like, did you played Blood Dragon, right? Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
They did enemy density really well because you just were a, you know, a whirling tornado of destruction. And in this, I feel like they're doing the same thing where they're like, well, we're making the kind of the battle arenas smaller and we're adding more people in to kind of give that claustrophobic feel and just make it just kind of nutty. Far Cry 5. It was a big open plane. And they were like, what, three people max? You know, a pickup truck pulls up to you and they're like, we're going to kill you now. There's a guy in the passenger seat, one that's driving, one in the trunk. That's it. That's what we got.
Yeah, it just, also from a story perspective, Far Cry 5 is just shit.
There's a good narrative in Far Cry games, for the most part. There's no voice protagonist. You know, you're just a silent dude who pays for microtransactions so you can have a cowboy hat, but also it's a first-person game, you'll never see the cowboy hat. Pretty neat.
So why, you know?
Anyways, that's my TED Talk on why Far Cry 5 is a stinker.
So, Far Cry 6, we have, like, a good villain, the dictator who's trying to brainwash his son, which is fun, bad parenting, cool.
Love it.
You're trying to free Yara, which is not Cuba. It's a cool environment. You have weapons. Like, there's, like, a gun that shoots CDs and still plays music. And there's also, like, you can put a fucking rocket launcher on your back as a backpack and then just take people out with it, which I think is cool and hot.
That's what I want.
I'm just That's fucking excited for it, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've hit a lot of the big boys. There's one that I kind of want to talk about, but it's not huge. So
that's okay. That's fine.
Gearbox did one, I think, part of the Summer Games Fest, which is, like, right before E3. They're going to do, like, a Tiny Tina's Wonderland, early 2022. I love... That's what I'm going to say. My favorite part of this E3 was just the super vague release dates. Because, like, I'm going to say this now, and, you can quote me. Put me on every box. Every box, baby. Like, 80% of these games are going to get delayed by at least a year. Because Waterworld Sunshow. And at least in gaming, I don't know how much in film, we're going to see this, because I think the turnaround in film is a little bit quicker. But we're going to start seeing, like, couple months, we're going to start seeing a big drought in new games. A lot of games that were supposed to come out are getting delayed, you know? Like Halo Infinite, that's been delayed, like, 4 times. And now it's a tentative... like December or something?
Yeah, it's supposed to be holiday 2021.
Yeah, and so, you know...
They didn't say which holiday, though, so New Year's Eve.
But yeah, so that's the thing, is get hyped. You know, check out these trailers, because they're fun. Or you've probably already seen them. But also take everything with a grain of salt, because I don't think we're going to be seeing stuff anytime soon, you know? And even the stuff that we do see soon might not be kind of at the level that you're expecting or hoping, you know, a real cyberpunk situation, you know?
Well, I will say, you know, to see the bright side here, I appreciate a vague release date, if only because they're not going to try to make a promise that they can't possibly keep.
Yeah.
And then they won't be able to keep it. And then they're going to push their people too far and the game will come out and it'll be terrible. So, like, I appreciate the honesty of a vague answer, I guess, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because I'm like, yeah, I know it's hard, and I know it's going to take forever, so at least you're not, like, at least they're not lying, I guess, is what saying.
Yeah, I guess so. But don't pre-order any games. Just don't.
Yeah, be careful on that one, team.
Yeah, just don't do it anymore. It's real dumb. It's real clown shit, you know? Honk, honk, that's your nose if you pre-order, you know?
Wow.
Getting your big old shoes and your tiny little car, yeah. I'm making fun of you if you pre-order.
Dude, for some reason, I'm just filled with a real urge to pre-order a game.
Oh my god.
Not that I have to with Xbox Game Pass. Oh my god, can I really quickly talk about just a couple of smaller but interesting games? There's like this game called Replaced.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's by like Sad Cat Studios, and it's like this pixelated game, but they have this really cool free flow combat, which, like, you think it's going to be traditional 2D, but like the way it moves is just really, really cool. And it's very pixelated and stylized, and it has a very, like, Blade Runner look to it. You're a fucking artificial intelligence that got trapped in a human body. So you have, like, infinite knowledge, but you have, like, just a regular shitty body. And you have to try to make that work as you take on, like, all this corruption and all these bad dudes. And I'm like, this is something I would play. And I can in 2022. on Xbox Game Pass. and then there's one more. The first time I heard about The Ascent, I was kind of like, okay. But then when I looked more into it, it kind of looks really cool. And it's this kind of top-down shooter where you have all this dynamic cover and you can choose your targets and the environment can change, where you can kind of use craters and shit to survive. And you're fighting waves of monsters and enemies. And it's this, like, terrible dystopian future where everyone's controlled by mega corporations, but the corporation that, like, owns your soul collapsed, and you're in this huge, like, mega facility that's just, like, falling apart, and all these people are fighting for power in a power vacuum, and you're like, well, gotta shoot my way out of it.
Yeah.
And you can, on July 29th, 2021, on Xbox Game Pass.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not being paid.
I wish I was.
I do, too.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about, I think. So, Plague Tale is getting a sequel, which was super cool. It's a kind of an indie game, and, you know, we love it when indie games get sequels, because then it means more people can work and get paid to do the things they love.
Yeah.
Chernobyl got announced.
Chernobyl? The event or a game?
Chernobyl.
Chernobylite or Stalker 2? Because there are two Chernobyl games.
You know what? I was thinking Stalker.
Yeah.
I think it's Stalker 2.
Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. That's April right. Okay. 28th, 2022. Yeah, looked pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. You know, I think that one's also on Game Pass day one.
They had kind of a cool trailer where they showed off all these different monsters and anomalies and different paths you can go on, and it looks really spooky. There's Chernobylite, which is another game. Maybe not as polished as Stalker 2. But some interesting things going on there, too, with, like, monsters and enemies. And the weirdest thing, though, so I was reading about the game online, and they were talking about how, you know, it's all about team building, and you can build a base to survive, and you're trying to find your wife who died 30 years ago, or didn't die. That's the mystery.
Ooh.
And then, as, like, a footnote, on the website of the game, they're like, well, yeah, you can time travel to, like, fix a mistake, but it might let monsters in from another universe that'll rip you in half. And I'm like, Chernobylite, why would you bury that? That's like the coolest fucking thing I've ever read in my life.
That is burying the lead, my friend.
Don't, that's cool. Put that up, put that on the box, Chernobylite. Anyway, that comes out in July 28th, if all goes according to plan.
Oh, so like in like 3 weeks then?
Yeah.
Wild. I mean, there's more. Obviously, there's like ton more.
There's not really a lot to say about like Contraband, though, you know?
Well, there's nothing about Contraband to say. They're doing a Pirates of the Caribbean crossover with Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, it's out now.
And we should play that one day.
I'd really want to play it. It looks like a lot of fun. And
looks super charming.
Sea of Thieves is a very empty yet incredibly entertaining game.
Yeah.
Because, like, the mechanics are there, and it's a lot of fun, and the environments are cool, and sometimes a volcano goes off and kills everyone, and that's great. But this Pirates of the Caribbean seems like a really cool narrative experience that the game's kind of been lacking, and I feel like if it goes well, then the future will be more, like, interesting for that game. Like, they'll be encouraged to do more stuff like that, so.
I think so, too. Like, Master and Commander, you know, DLC. They just do movie crossovers, you know?
What if they do Treasure Planet?
That feels like such a different thing, Trevor.
I don't care. Pirates.
I know. God, that's the one thing they should make a live-action movie of, and that fucking Disney is too afraid.
You know, I would play a Treasure Planet game, 100%.
Yeah, I'd be into that. There's only one connect. Oh, no. Wait, one more thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm sorry. Battlefield. I want to talk about Battlefield real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So technically, before all you purists get in here, calm down. I know that Battlefield 2042 is technically announced before E3. I know. It is still kind of part of like the experience, and they showed more gameplay at E3, and it's a new big thing, and it's exciting. I will say I am a little disappointed because Battlefield 2042 is not going to have any single player, and in the trailer, all the groundwork is kind of there for there to be a story, because they show like a giant satellite being shot into space and all these weather weapons, and I'm like, that'd be a cool game. It'd be a cool thing to fight against. And they're like, no. But gameplay wise, looks pretty fucking cool. Matches with like 128 people, which I can't even comprehend.
Insane. I haven't even seen 128 people like ever in my life.
Obviously, there are new gadgets and like technology, and it just looks fucking cool as hell. Like I felt like that rush of I really want to lose many times at this. I mean, and that's what you want in a game trailer, is for people to want to lose. There's only one Connecticut.
They're like, we're cops, but We hunt demons.
And the assistant walks through a giant portal
that he thought was art.
The walls are shaking. Mirrors are falling.
She sees the devil, and I think it might be her dad.
And I'm killing people, and there's a frog detective, and you're...
Do your best dinosaur roar right now.
I can't.
Okay. Podcast over.
But no. Wait,
okay. What is this segment, Shane?
Welcome to Middle Watch, our segment where we pick a random episode in the middle of a series and just watch it without context at all. Now, today's episode, pretty special. I've wanted to delve into this nightmare of a TV show for a long time. In this show, we watched Terra Nova, and this was only one season. So, because of that, instead of just going for a good old episode 5 or 6, I decided that we should just watch the very last episode, because that's where they're going to pull out all the stops, surely. That's when they have to, like, make a statement. This is why we deserve to continue as a show. This is why dinosaurs are important.
Oh, do you want to explain why dinosaurs?
Oh, yeah. So the plot of the show, the idea of the show, and this is real nutty. The year 2149 is hell, it's bullshit, everyone's dead, and everything is crazy. So they're like, how do we save mankind? The answer is the moon. But they are like, let's go back in time and then start civilization again. And they're like, when should we start civilization again? When the dinosaurs were around. That's a pretty cool time. Let's just go there.
It's not like there's a ticking clock for, like, you know, when your civilization's gonna end.
I really would have picked, like, right before stuff crawled out of the ocean. Think that would have been good.
Actually, so I have some news.
Yeah?
Because I was real into dinosaurs. And I don't know if this is accurate, but I vaguely remember this. So the reason why animals got to be how big they were, which they call a mega organism, is because there was more oxygen in the air than there is currently.
No,
which
I've
heard facilitated
that.
Like, you know, growth and whatnot. I don't think we could live in dinosaur times. It'd just be real hard to breathe. It'd be kind of almost toxic to us. I think we would have oxygen poisoning.
Look, that's a good point, and it's also like the smallest thing wrong with the show that has a better
billion
things
true,
wrong with it.
True. But I just want to say,
no, I know, I appreciate
every scene they should be dead.
Hey everybody, welcome to Science Corner, where we drop some science truth on y'all.
Pew, pew.
Gun. We decided to watch the finale of this show about a family that went back in time and tried to settle among the dinosaurs. But you'll never guess what happens in this show. Some people are bad, and they want to open the time bridge so they can smuggle resources from the past to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people in the future want to destroy the past. Although, I don't know if they realize that if they strip mine the Earth in the past, it will destroy the human race. Because then we can't exist. That's what confuses me. You saw this more recently than me.
So we start off, father and son, prison time, baby. They've gotten the dad, Jim, and the son,
yep.
Who gives a shit?
Josh.
Josh, god damn it. Two J names, really? That is like an affront to screenwriting. Anyways, a little screenwriting trick. If you have main characters, try not to name them with the same letters, because that's like just really confusing for your writers, or your readers, excuse me. Anywho, Jake and Josh are in prison, and Jim, the dad, he's like, we got kidnapped by Phoenix. We're gonna die because their leader,
Lucas
Taylor, is the son of our like commander, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is.
I don't know
what
his name
is. Commander Taylor.
Commander Taylor. And you know, we love him, and so we're loyal to him. We're not gonna rat him out. And so the dad gets tortured a wee bit, and
kind of
the,
a lot, yeah.
Yeah, his wife, who's a doctor, pretends to poison this guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like this is the sweatiest man on earth, you know? He's a crazy dude, and she's like, I poisoned you. I know you're a bad guy. Take me to my husband and like release him. Or I'll let you die and I won't give you the antidote. And he does. He goes and he, you know, does the thing. And then she's like, cool, I was bluffing. You got like salt water, seal nerd. And so they are trying to get out of
the compound,
the
camp,
compound,
whatever.
So it's what I gathered was that it was originally their like town that the Phoenix folk had like rolled in and like took it over and like pushed all the good people out.
Yeah.
Jim and his family, they're like, oh, we gotta make a break for it. Or, but like, you know, there's a lot of people with guns. They're gonna kill us. And there's a soldier who I think is like kind of undercover, more or less, named Washington.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, you guys gotta go. I'm gonna make a big old distraction. They're like, come with us. You're gonna get killed. And she's like, my contract's up at the end of this episode, so I'm out. See you. And causes an explosion. The family runs off. But Lucas shoots Washington right in the skull, right in the noggin. Kills
him. Yeah, real bad dude.
And immediately right outside the gate, Commander Taylor and his army, you know, collect Jim and his folks. And he's like, oh, Washington, she's dead. She's real dead, man. The most dead. And then later, you know, he's like, oh, she told me to tell you about this word, you know, just that you'd remember it, you know what I mean, and like what we have to do. And he recalls the story of when they were soldiers on Earth back in the future, where they were like against insurmountable odds, but they didn't want the odds to get worse. So they blew up their one escape plan, which was also the only way to get like enemy soldiers in to where they were, which is weird to me because if you're already at the exit, just go. You know what I mean?
I think the bit was that the enemy was also on the other side of the bridge.
Okay.
So it's not like they could have left. And it's the same problem with the time portal, because it's like on the other side, it's really just Corporation X or whatever the fuck.
Evil Corp, you know?
But yeah, anyway, the big bit is that because in the past they blew up the bridge, Taylor's like, well, now we have to blow up the time tunnel, because then Phoenix can't bring bad guys back.
Yeah.
And then our main character, Jim, is like, well, yeah, then we're just fucking stuck here forever.
And he's like, well, we'll just be friends together.
There's just 1,000 people, which is not enough to kickstart anything. But hey, they captured fucking squirmy bad guy Lucas for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to trick him because he's a fucking piece
of
shit.
He's real dumb.
They capture him. Real dumb. And then instead of taking him to like a camp, they just kind of leave him in a van. And I'm like, hey, guys. And then he gets out and I'm like, hey, guys. And he runs away and I'm like, hey. Guys? So he gets out immediately, and that's cool, but it's okay because Jim has ideas. He sneaks onto a transport car, and they disguise the fucking barcode, and he just slips through the time portal. Doesn't get cancer, so that's good. So he goes through the time portal in a big box, but you know what else is in the box? Good old Carnotaur is in the box too, and he injects it with a syringe that makes it angry. I'm like, that's the plan, I guess. And he rolls out, and they all point guns at him, and they're like, you, what are you doing? And then the dinosaur shows up and just wrecks everything. Just wrecks shit so quickly.
Mm-hmm. It was a trick. They was a little sneaky goof.
Jim just becomes the best.
Yeah.
Like, when he's in the future, he like takes out two people and he arms the time bomb, like time in quotations, because it's supposed to blow up a time machine, and it's also a timed bomb. For all you fans of explosions, this episode's got it all. So Jim is just fucking taking on the goddamn world. He's running away, but then he gets cornered by Weaver, who's like the big bad, like not Lucas, but like the future big bad. Multiple big bads in this show. And Weaver is monologuing about how they deserve everything and like we're the best and you can't stop us. And then obviously the dinosaur just rips his head off. It's very brutal. And Jim's like, cool, I'm gonna keep going. Jim's running away from this dinosaur on this giant catwalk, and there are explosions, and the dinosaur's not there, he's not there, the explosions aren't there, so it's great.
Mm-mm.
And it looks awful, and then there's a huge, like, and then you're like, where did he go? What's going on? But that's not the only thing that happens, because we still gotta deal with Lucas.
So, okay, so Lucas tells the story earlier in the episode, of where, so they used to live in Somalia, apparently, the Taylors. And Somalia was overrun with rebels, sure. And the rebels like were like, hey, Commander Taylor, you have to pick one of your family members to live, and the other one will die. And so he picks his son, and his wife gets killed. And so, you know, Lucas feels like Commander Taylor blames him for his wife's death. And, you know, that's important later in the episode, because they have a little face-off where Commander Taylor absolutely beats the living shit out of his son. And rightfully so, his son's a prick, you know? His son like gets him at the heartstrings. He's like, Dad, why do you blame me for Mom's death? And she's like, I don't blame you. And they do a little bro hug. And then, shank, Lucas stabs Commander Taylor.
Yeah.
And then their sister, the sister, whatever her name is.
Sky
shows up and shoots Lucas about 18 times in the chest.
Somehow not enough times, but yeah.
They think he's dead, and then he just disappears?
Yeah, he Halloweens. He Halloweens gone.
He's referred to, but he doesn't show up again. But yeah, so that's that kind of confrontation. And I don't care. Also, I wrote down, because the guy that plays Commander Taylor,
yep.
I've only ever seen him as a villain. He plays the guy from Avatar. He plays the creepy, fucking rapist blind guy from Don't Breathe. Which is getting a sequel, by the way, which is, like,
that's weird, yucky. Though, because he was a bad guy.
And now he's, like, blind John Wick, and he's, yeah, it's bad. It's real bad. I'm not going to watch it either. It's, like, I wrote down, it's so weird, because I've only ever seen him as, like, an absolute maniac. And then he starts beating the shit out of his son. And his son's, like, says this one thing, he's like, I thought you wouldn't hurt me. And his dad's, like, think again, and just punches him in the head. And so I wrote in my notes, never mind, he is a maniac. Like, he is an absolute insane person.
There's a little bit of backstory that's somewhat important here.
Oh, for sure.
Because we find out, so the soldier that got killed earlier in the episode, Washington, was kind of like his surrogate daughter.
Yeah.
That he served with and, like, took care of and helped raise. And, you know, his son shot her in the fucking head.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe... my son was a time-traveling psychopath who was willing to sell out the human race for, like, $5, maybe I'd beat the shit out of him. You know?
So, anyways, they end up finding Jim in the woods. Everything's peachy
keen. Pretty easy, actually.
Pretty easy. He just kind of, like, stumbles out of the brush.
I was kind of thinking that, because they had all this dialogue about, oh, you could be stuck and I don't know what's going to happen. That Jim was going to be stuck in the future and the show was going to end on that cliffhanger, because that seems like a real TV thing to do.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, he just swooped on back and there he is. And I'm like, wow, that was...
I really wanted them to pull some, like, Legends of Tomorrow thing where he, like, jumps through the portal, but he's in, like, another time period. And then, like, so half of the, you know, season two would have been, like, them in Dino Times and then... Jim in another time period trying to figure out how to get back and everything. I think that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good way to kind of tie in, like, maybe the little bit.
Yeah, I feel like the time end, travel the very end, but... nonsense could have been upped a little bit.
Yeah, because it's weird. It's a show about dinosaurs and time travel, and yet...
one dinosaur.
Like, both aspects are, like, barely explored. Yeah. That's just me. The bad guys just up and leave. And
Phoenix is like, we're out of here.
Ah, we're done.
You're going,
like,
north to the Badlands.
We're bored of winning, so see ya. And so all the good guys go back home, and they're like, yeah, we're good guys. And they take a look at the cargo that they switched, you know, when they sent over the dinosaur. And it's like a bow of a pirate ship, like 18th century or whatever, you know. And they're like, well, how did this get here before even humans existed? And they're like, I guess we'll know in season two. And it never happened. And then they watch a meteor shower. And I was like, please let this be the meteor shower. You know? The one that ends the show.
That would be so funny.
So that's a Terra Nova.
God forbid I make fun of a TV show where they just simply wanted to have people interact with dinosaurs. And I'm not going to nitpick it where I'm like, well, they could have just gone further in the future. They could have just gone to the moon or blah, whatever. I will say, though, it's weird that the only real tease that they had in their pocket for a potential season two was like, well, this old pirate ship is pretty weird. And I'm like, that's it. It's not the corporation. You know, it's not like some scary thing, or it's not like a plan that Phoenix has. It's like, no, it's a pirate ship. And that's it.
I mean, to me, it would have been a better reveal if, like, Lucas, like, they're in the Badlands, you know, you cut to, like, whatever. You know, a week later, and it's Lucas in the Badlands, and he's all messed up from his fight with his dad. And then you see this, like, beached pirate ship, you know?
Yeah, that would be cooler.
That would have been cooler. And then, like, oh, it's in a box. Here's a chunk of wood in a box. So, Terra Nova, can I read you a little bit about the reception?
Can I tell you how much it cost for episode?
Oh, please, and then I'll tell you my thing.
$4 million!
For who? For what?
Yeah, for what? For a bunch of gray buildings, one shoddy dinosaur, and a couple guns that look like they bought them at Party City?
Also, the sound mixing in the show is garbage. Like, the explosions sound so bad. It sounds so bad and, like, tinny and gross.
What kills me, though, is, like, okay, so you have a big fight and you have a lot of money. It wasn't even Jericho, you know?
No.
It wasn't even the Jericho fight. And they didn't even film the whole thing because they just ended it in the middle, which cheap. But at least something happened.
Yeah.
They had a goddamn tank.
It's just a mess, man. Like, it's just,
Okay, sorry. What was... You were going to say about the reception. Okay.
So, early reviews indicated much promise for the series. So, it came out in June 2011. You know, it was kind of around the same time that Avatar came out. So, riding that big old man hype train,
experience,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, the Los Angeles Times wrote, easily the most exciting show of the fall season, which is funny because it's June, but...
While you talk, I'm going to look up other shows that came out in 2011, sure. If you don't mind.
Fox's Terra Nova has such obvious, instant, and demographical, diverse appeal. USA Today wrote, what matters are the dinosaurs, who, particularly in the first hour, are as convincing and startling as TV has ever offered, roaming a gorgeous CGI-enhanced terrain.
Are we sure?
Wall Street Journal wrote, Terra Nova leaves ye old cheap set series in the dust with production values that make each episode look cinematic.
What?
Washington Post wrote, literally the biggest thing on TV this fall. Terra Nova has it all. Time traveling, misguided utopianism, Swiss Family Robinson style cohesion, and a lot of hungry dinosaurs. It's all pretty delightful. Or dazzling, excuse me. And then it goes down from here. If I can just read you like a mid-season review.
Yep, please do.
From The New Yorker. This is Chadwick Matlin. He vowed never to watch the show again. And he said, sure, the premise had promise. But even masochists like us can only take so much.
Brutal.
Not great.
Well, you'll be happy to know that another of our favorite shows, Grimm, came out in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Grimm boy. Six seasons somehow. We also had Once Upon a Time, Being Human, The Killing, Workaholics.
Workaholics is a good show.
New Girl, which is good for a
New
minute.
New Girl's fantastic. For like four episodes, four
yeah.
seasons.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Game of Thrones too, which, I mean, didn't end well, but that was still, it was a strong start.
Which first season?
Yeah.
Damn. Terra Nova, man.
Terra Nova. So if I can just for a little bit longer continue this dinosaur conversation.
Hit me with it.
Because there's not a lot in this episode.
There's one.
What would you have liked? What would you have liked? So let's say season 2, episode 1, mm-hmm. Terra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
I want Lucas to have put wheels on a pirate ship and just drive by and just lay into them with like cannons. And he's like, "Yar, ye mateys!" And then a dinosaur comes and eats him. No, like, I want, if I'm going to have militia groups and dinosaurs in the same show, you're going to weaponize a T-Rex.
Armor.
There to be, like, a different group or faction that has, like, tamed dinosaurs. And, like,
that'd be great.
use them to attack people, you know? That's pretty sick. I want more future people. And by that, I mean farther in the future to come. And there to be, like, future war. Like, someone from, like, 2038 or whatever, you know? And they're
that's,
just like,
that's earlier than 2149, but yeah.
2338, how about that?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, where they're just like, we've transcended physical existence, okay. And we live as gases. And I think that'd be pretty sick.
That's how Fringe ends, actually.
Is it really?
The future invades and they try to kill everybody.
That's pretty neat. Do they win?
No, we win. It takes
Weird.
A minute.
A
lot of people die.
Oh.
But I respect it because they were like, we could just do a regular season, but fuck you. Anyway, I definitely wanted more time shenanigans. I wanted somebody to get like lost in time, and I wanted like,
you know what I would really like, and this is just me,
no, please.
goofing, but like, I really want Lucas to go nuts because you know his act, like out of all the actors in that episode, I think he was the least offensive.
There was a chaotic charm. I mean, you could only do so much with the writing, which was pretty
exactly.
bad.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like the passion was there, and that if he had a little bit more to chew on, we could have been in a good place.
Oh, for sure. I want him to, like, start making his own portal and, like, maybe he can't travel back to the future, but maybe he can travel back, like, a few weeks. And what he does is, like, he just keeps grabbing more of himself. And he, like, no, like, he has an army of just him. I think that would be pretty dope. Not gonna lie.
I think that would kind of rule, to be honest with you.
I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Just, like, yeah, there's, like, 50 of us. And it's me. And we all know the same thing.
Yeah, Terra Nova.
And we're starting a baseball league.
Season 2, Episode 1, I Am Legion. And it's just...
I mean, honestly, just get wacky with it.
Lucas Incorporated, you know?
Or the other thing, which... Lost did really well early on was they were like, oh, there's other people. Holy shit, there's other people here.
Which were pretty easy to deal with in the long run.
Oh, of course, because
yeah,
they were just like living in a suburb. But like, if you were in prehistory, like about 65 million years before human civilization existed, and just you see another dude and you're like, huh? Like,
here's
what?
Here's my pitch. This is the worst.
Hit me.
If like a bunch of super bad guys, but maybe not the Nazis. It doesn't have to be that. But the idea of like somebody else hiding there, but it's like the worst people.
Like that would ratchet up the tension about like tenfold.
Well, yeah, because Lucas is easy to deal with.
Yeah, you shoot about 18 more times.
I mean,
in
one
the chest.
Lucas is easy. You know, once the other one's 50. Rolling. But I definitely think instead of a pirate ship, which is stupid, it should be like, you know, the Dharma Initiative, because that was another thing that was,
yeah,
and maybe it didn't really deliver, but it was teased well and was really interesting and kept like the mystery alive. So,
and I think, you know, maybe not like a pirate ship, but they find something that like was made in their time period, but like definitely by people, you
like
know,
a Coke can.
Well, you know, New Coke?
Oh, God, it's the 80s.
But we're talking about Terra Nova a lot for a show that we just did not like. But anyways, so, you know, in Raised by Wolves, right? In, like, the final episode where they're like, no one's ever been to this planet before. And then, like, the one son, like, wanders into a cave and he sees cave paintings. Like, to me, I was like, like,
oh yeah, and all the skulls, don't forget.
Yeah, all the skulls. Like, isn't there a really short horror story that's like the last man on earth hears a knock on the door?
Yeah
That shit's cool, man. I love that stuff. Terra Nova, get on it. I mean,
yeah, Terra Nova
10 years ago, but like, Terra Nova, get on it.
Terra Nova, get on it retroactively.
You want to know what's crazy? Disney has the rights to Terra Nova now.
Oh my god.
Why? Yeah, because it aired on Fox.
Why is it not on Disney Plus?
Well, because it's garbage. It's a weird, really high concept, but like at the end of the day, it's just some dude named Jim running through corridors, you know?
Terra Nova.
See you in hell. There we go. That's the dinosaur one.
Yeah. What?
Newstown, everyone's in Newstown.
Welcome to Newstown, where we tell you things you probably already know. America's back.
America's back, baby.
As you may know, the end of the world is over.
We cured it. We solved it. It's donezo.
Everything's pretty much perfect. You know, don't read the news. We're great.
It's never been better, baby. Never been better.
So, a lot of movies are now in production that got a little bit delayed, or at least were a little troubled.
Yeah.
Aquaman 2, Black Panther 2, John Wick 4, Knives Out 2.
Yeah, it just started filming the other day.
Yeah, all these things are filming or in production. So, you know, the balls are rolling. It's very exciting. Speaking of Knives Out 2, keeps adding more fucking people.
Shane, are you in Knives Out 2?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, wow, man.
Trevor, are you in Knives Out 2?
I am. I'm in Knives Out 2.
Oh, my God. Did you do it, though? Did you do the Knives Out?
I can't tell you. You'll have to watch Knives Out 2 starring me.
So good old Jessica Henwick, the only thing we loved in Iron Fist, is in Knives Out 2. And so is good old Ethan Hawke. So a cast that was already just fucking incredible. Getting even more incredible.
I love Ethan Hawke.
I do, too. I'm a big fan.
He's real good.
Yeah. Apple TV keeps announcing new things because they know that the free trials are ending for almost everyone.
Oh, yeah, I got to renew like, next month.
They're like, hey, guys, please, you like Ted, don't leave. one of the first ones, they have this show called The Shrink Next Door, which I think is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell is a patient and Paul Rudd is a shrink, but Paul Rudd is like a psychopath.
Oh, that sounds real fun.
I think he like derails his patients' lives on purpose or some shit. I don't know the full thing, but it has a very, like, dark comedy element to it.
Sounds like us giving advice in college.
It looks like it gets real dark and real wild, and, like, the first three episodes will be on Friday, November 12th, and then, like, it'll be weekly from there on.
That's in a ways off. That's
Yeah, no.
And, that is not also a tomorrow thing.
Nothing's happening tomorrow, but we have some closer ones. Invasion, another Apple TV thing, which will be on the 22nd of October, and that will also be three at once and then weekly. It's kind of like a global look at an alien invasion, like different stories on different continents throughout it. I admit the trailer's kind of a little preachy, which is weird. Because it's like, mankind, there's a moment, and then you know what you're doing here. When you're out here, mankind, we gotta prove it.
When you alien,
yeah,
when you...
it's a little bit, it's a little rambly, little weird, but it looks kind of cool.
You can do anything?
Like, you see, like, satellites blow up, and people get weird nosebleeds, and, like, you see, like, a giant, it's not a Reaper, because they don't have the right to that, but it would be if they did.
Oh, that'd be so cool, though.
It looks like it could have potential, you know what I mean? It looks like a pretty good cast. And they also announced the weirdest thing, and the thing that could be the best or worst, is a thing called Foundation, and that comes out on September 24th of this year on Apple TV, and it's based on this huge series of novels by Isaac Asimov, and it's a super future where there's this huge, like, empire of people, and we can live forever, but things are starting to fall apart. Like, it's like the end of the universe, or it's the end of our empire, and it's this mission to save humanity. And it has this cool Altered Carbon, Raised by Wolves vibe. And they're like, there are invasions, and it's in space, and everything blows up. And it looks completely nuts, but maybe in a good way. Because I'll admit, when they announced Raised by Wolves, I was like, this can't be good. And then I was
me too.
This is rad.
I was like, this is garbage. And I was like, oh my god, this is so good.
Yeah, so it has that kind of thing where it's like so crazy and so wild that it might work.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about that. Not on Apple TV, but another show to talk about, Good Omens. Season 2 was confirmed for Amazon, which is wild because, you know, the book that it's based on was kind of like a single story, and like they save the world and then it ends. However, good old Neil Gaiman, who wrote the book, who co-wrote the book, actually talked with the late Terry Pratchett while he was still alive about what the sequel plans are. So they did kind of have a loose springboard that he's now going to bring to the table.
Yeah.
When he writes this, so it's not like it's coming out of nowhere. And I'm really excited about it, because I really didn't expect anything to happen, and it's like, oh, cool, good news.
I just hope it's just them hanging out, eating brunch. I would watch that for 8 episodes straight.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Maybe there's a little kiss in there, but, you know, I'm not asking for it. There's some eggs Benedict
between
friends.
I want them to argue one time, because the waiter's a little bit late bringing the eggs, and then that's the conflict.
My eggs, it cost me 2 weeks for these eggs.
Dear audience, normally I would bleep this word for your sanity and my own.
We've been doing it every single time.
However, if I bleep it, this won't make any goddamn sense. So I'm just going to have to, I'm going to have to say it, okay? I want you to brace yourself.
It's your dirty word.
Brace yourself. Supernatural is back in the news. After 15 seasons of varying degrees of quality, it's coming back. This new series called The Winchesters, not going to be about Sam and Dean, everyone's favorite Winchesters. It's going to be about their parents, John and Mary, who people don't like that much. It's weirdly going to be narrated by Dean, and you might go, isn't narration kind of like boring and people don't like it that much? Yeah. So Jensen Ackles, who played Dean, going to be executive producer along with his wife. Weirdly enough, Jared Padalecki did not know about it. which is weird.
That's so weird.
But anyway, though, the little blurb about it was like, well, it's how John met Mary and they saved their love and the world. However, the stakes can't be anything because, like, in the future, Sam and Dean, like, kill the devil 45 times and they defeat God and they kill 18 kings of hell and they kill a bunch of British assholes. They do everything. So I don't know what you could come up with that would be even remotely interesting for them to deal with.
Here's my gripe with it.
Please tell me.
Canonically,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Because John Winchester was not a hunter before he met Mary. He didn't know anything about magic and monsters, right? Mary and her family, she was the hunter. After she dies, he, like, realizes what's going on and then, like, becomes bad dad of the year. until, you know, he dies in season one.
Yeah, the best thing he ever did for his children.
Not exist. And so it's just false? What we heard for 15 years was false?
Again, I don't 100% know what they're doing. It's just, I know that the flashback episodes of the parents were not the best, were some of the worst, I would say. And I don't really think it's a story worth exploring. And what the big issue, I guess, here is that, one, Supernatural ended in the dumbest, most dogshit way humanly possible. So there's that. And I think it would be cool if we took a minute to breathe and go, do we care about this anymore? And number two, it could have been anything else. It could have been the distant past, maybe when monsters first were showing up, or like maybe when hunters first like got their shit together, or maybe a hunter organization, or the Men of Letters that they never really did anything with.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been maybe the near future, a little bit after defeating God, and maybe new things show up or whatever. Or it could have been sideways, or like, what were these people doing in Canada? Or I don't, my point is, it could have been anything, because the whole thing about Supernatural is it just kind of took every single monster that any culture had ever had, regardless of significance to said culture,
yeah,
and was like, let's just fight it and kill it and blow it up, whatever. But given that it kind of took from everything, it could have been, you could set it anywhere and put anyone in it and just be like, it's Supernatural. So to be like, no, let's go back in time to the parents and let's tell their story that people don't care about.
We already know the story.
Weird.
It's dumb.
Weird, I don't
it's
care.
It's so
yeah.
stupid. I hate yeah. it so goddamn much. Well, you know what? We'll wait until it's all out and we'll do a middle watch for it. How about that?
That's fair.
Anyways, so my Newstown entry. There's a mod coming out for The Witcher 3 called A Night to Remember. It's a fan-made quest, but it's voice acted. Like, it's the same voice actor. And you'd think, oh, did he work out, did the modder create, like, a contract with CD Projekt Red in order to get, like, you know, the license to have the original voice actor voice all these lines? No, he didn't. But he also doesn't need to, because he used an AI program that just took all the lines and then is, you know, seamlessly, like, delivering them in the voice using, like, words that, you know, the character has already said before. And there's something about, like, you know, maybe over 1,000 lines of dialogue in The Witcher. So there's a lot of material to work with, right? And it's kind of brought up this debate about AI voice actors. Because, you know, if it gets good enough, you can just have someone walk into a booth and just say a bunch of words. And someone can just do whatever they want with it. It's weird. It's super weird. And so it's kind of created this dialogue amongst voice actors who, A, want to exist. And, you know, and then other people that are like, well, it's, you know, the creation of industry and competition and, you know, be a better actor if you're... But it's super weird. It's super weird.
It feels lazy.
It does. But it also, it feels like it takes a lot more work.
Yeah. Well, it feels, I guess, emotionless and mechanical and cold.
But, like, I listened to some of the lines delivered, and you couldn't tell. That's the weird thing. It's, like, the technology is so good, you could not even tell that it was not, that it wasn't, like, original voice acting. It's pretty bonkers. It's pretty interesting. I think it's called Cyber Voice, is the program or service that does it. So, keep an eye out, see what happens. So, this is your Cyberpunk update of the week. It's back on the PlayStation Play Store or whatever it's called. Since, you know, maybe like 3 months into it being an actual game, it was removed from the eStore, from the online store. You could still buy physical copies for PlayStations, but you couldn't buy it off of their digital storefront. It's now back on there with a warning saying, hey, don't play this. it comes with a warning saying, like, yeah, don't play this on any console besides PS5 or PS4 Pro. If you do, don't blame us. So
if you do, you'll die.
If you do, you might explode. So, you know, there was a pretty measly update or hot fix recently when it came to PlayStation that's like really just fixed a couple textures here and there, but I don't think too much has changed in terms of like stability or quality since it was removed and since it was put back on. It is interesting. The theory is that it was removed originally because CD Projekt Red said, hey, anyone disappointed with Cyberpunk, go to whoever you bought it and get a refund. And they did that without talking to literally anybody. And Sony was like inundated with refund requests. and was like, yeah, I just don't want to, I don't want to deal with this. So we're not going to sell the game anymore. So Shane,
yeah,
if people want to get in contact with us about what to watch next for Middle Watch, or if they want to just tell us about movies and things and thoughts that they have, where can they find us on social media?
Well, we are at Out of Dodge Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
Perfect. We don't have a Tumblr.
No.
We don't have a TikTok.
What would that be? It's a podcast. It's an audio medium.
I don't know. A black screen with sound. I don't know. Oh yeah. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, give us a rating. Well, 1 out of 5 stars. 1 if you didn't like us. 5 if you really didn't like us. And leave us a little note, a little comment about how great our podcast is. And it helps our show get discovered more in like the metrics and all that jazz. So yeah, give us some love if you want to. Anyways, I'm Trevor.
No.
And this is Adam Dodge. We're starting again. We're
no,
starting
I can't
again.
Do it
We're
again.
Doing another one.
I think Redfall looks all right. I'm into it. There's no information about it. What is Starfield? We probably already cut it off, right? But
sure.
The thing that kills me about Transformers Rise of the Beasts,
please,
is that Optimus Primal is a different character than Optimus Prime, and that just makes me want to stand in the rain.
Optimus Primal!
I'm this, and I'm this, and welcome to our video.
We had a reptile.